Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hey everyone, this is Jamie Pauls. Welcome to the first of our CSUN 2014 ESPN specials. Yes, you heard the pre-CSUN special, but this one is right from the floor. Ricky and Joe have several interviews, and I know you're going to enjoy them, so let's get started. The first one is with the sponsors of our coverage of CSUN 2014, Hims, Inc.
ESPN is live in San Diego for coverage for CSUN 2014, sponsored by Hims. And oh, look, Dave Wilkinson just dropped out of the sky in front of the microphone. How cool is that? Hey, Dave, how are you?
It was a pretty cool ride.
Yeah?
It absolutely was.
The parachute opened in time. That's always a good thing.
It is.
So this is a huge show for you guys. There is a special guest that we're going to be interviewing in a separate interview. So lots of things that special guest will have to talk about. But again, very big show for you guys. Let's start out with the eBot. You guys introduced that at ATIA. And now showing that heavily this time, right?
We absolutely are. eBot is the only iPad-compatible portable reading, writing, and distance video magnifier that also has optical character recognition. And it's a revolutionary product. It's the only product that does what it does. You can hook it up to anything, any monitor, computer, tablet, and see the image projected onto the tablet. It does OCR. You've got near view, distance view. There are several models of eBot. The eBot Pro has an electronically controlled camera so that you don't actually have to take your hands off of your iPad or off of the remote to switch from near view to far to distance view to move the camera around. It's all done right under your fingertips, so you don't have to worry about any of the little jiggling or knocking around of the cameras like you used to.
Very nice. And I like that it is compatible with both iOS or iPad and Android devices, right?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Yes, so it is platform agnostic in terms of that, which is great.
We actually take it a step further. The wireless compatibility is through your iOS devices or your Android devices. When you're plugging it into a computer, we're supporting PCs or Macs, or you can plug it into a standalone monitor as well. So you can go with virtually any platform you can think of or no platform and go old school and grab a monitor.
Very cool. So the eBot, you're going to be hearing lots more about the eBot, so stay tuned for that. Now, I gotta say, I am a big fan of reading books. Lots of people know this. And turns out I'm not the only one who is a big fan of reading books. The BookSense has been around for quite some time, and of course, Hims is pretty famous for that. Anything to talk about in regard to said BookSense?
Absolutely there is. We are unveiling a new product here that is called the Blaze. The model of the Blaze that we're introducing at CSUN is called the EZ. And book readers have been nice. They enable you to read various electronic file formats and listen to various types of music and podcasts and, you know, pretty much anything that you wanted electronically, but there was a glaring omission in the file formats that were supported, and that glaring omission was print. So in this instance, we've Blaze EZ has high resolution camera with optical character recognition that I was using last night to scan the hotel menu.
Nice.
So we've taken the most glaring omission from the formats that were supported by previous book readers, that being print, and introduced it into the Blaze EZ. You've got a cappella speech, so you're getting Heather and Ryan, the couple that we've all known, come to know and love for our speech.
That's right, yep.
You're getting the same features that you had on your BookSense, except that you're getting stereo speakers now. For music, you've got 10 different equalizers, everything from rock, dance, classical, jazz, normal, and five that I can't remember. You're having the ability to read your books, your podcasts. We've got the ability for internet radio, because mm-hmm. we've got Wi-Fi built into it. We've
right.
got Bluetooth built in, so you can do the whole no hands trick and hook it up to Bluetooth speaker or headphones. And again, when you come across something that's in print, that elusive format that has not been previously integrated into a book reader, we've got it.
Indeed. What's the form factor like on this as compared to the previous BookSense?
It is slightly bigger than the BookSense or the BookSense XT. It's about the same size as some of your other competitive ebook readers that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting something that's about the same form factor as some of your products by Plextalk or by Humanware.
Right.
But we've managed to get a camera into it and stereo speakers into it and a cappella voices into it. And we didn't have to make it any bigger than those guys.
Excellent. When does the unit begin shipping?
Unit will begin shipping in a couple of months. It will be easily available before the summer shows. Beyond that, if I gave you a shipping date, I would probably just miss it.
Yeah,
so we'll you know this goes.
We don't want a horde of rabid blind people on your doorstep saying, you said it would be this date, and it's not.
I am happy to have hordes of rabid blind people show up on any doorstep as long as they bring me cookies.
So noted.
And we're doing a session on The Blaze on Friday that will be attended by our special guest that you'll be interviewing separately from this interview.
Yes, and we'll be recording that session, which will be available as part of our SPN coverage, so stay tuned for that as well.
That's right. Just remember that The Blaze reduces the stream to a trickle.
Aha, and with those words of wisdom, we'll bring this to a close. Thank you, Dave, for taking a few moments with us today, and wish you a great show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to CSUN 2014 once again. My name is Joe Steinkamp, and we're here for the Saratalk Podcast Network, sponsored by HIMSS. Joining along with me on this particular special interview is my good friend Ricky Enger. Hi, Ricky.
Hello, and I'm not alone either. We actually have a few other people with us today as well, so it's not just you and me talking. We've got Darren Burton and William Rushel from AFB.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Nice to be on the show.
So you guys have done some interesting things this year. Access Note was, of course, released a while back, but you didn't stop with the first version. You did a couple of interesting things, namely Flexi is your friends?
Absolutely.
On iOS?
Yeah, we talked with Flexi folks out at CES, and we've agreed with them. They're going to provide Flexi for the next iOS version of Access Note to be released later this year, so we're really looking forward to that.
Good deal. And Flexi is going to be a fantastic addition to Access Note because naturally, as you're taking notes, you want to be able to do this in the way that's most comfortable to you, whether that is using the paired braille display that you have or being able to type on Bluetooth keyboard or, again, using Flexi. That's awesome.
Excellent. Yeah, we wanted to add more choices for the individual, especially with Flexi. If you don't happen to have your keyboard with you, you can do some quick editing there too, and it just adds more choice for the customer.
There's something that people are, of course, wondering a bit about. Everybody on iOS is really happy. What about Android? What can we say about Access Note for Android?
Yeah, William, why don't you take that?
Sure, yeah. We have just received a grant from the Motorola Foundation to bring Access Note over to the Android platform, and we're really excited to be working for that. So our goal for this is, Android obviously isn't adopted by a whole lot of people who are using TalkBack to access the screen reader. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is Android is wide open as a platform, and we could either build our own solution and make Access Note really cool, but what we want to do is we want to build Access Note using the native operating system as much as we can. So instead of creating our own interface, we want to use the built-in controls that have been created by Android, and we want to extend that and prove that we can build an app that is good just using what Android has done, because I think that we can do that. I think that there's just not been many developers attempting to do this, especially in the mainstream. So Android appears to be quite bad. All right, our guys from that Android show might feel a little different
right.
About that.
Hey, send hate mail
sure,
to...
Sure.
We're sponsoring JJ out here right now, so we're all
right.
We're
right, yeah. Right. For a number of different reasons, not because you can't technically use it, but because users tend to get frustrated using it. So, and that's our main issue with it. So what we want to do is we want to create an Android app that has a good functionality based on the stuff that Android has already done.
Right.
And William, let me add that from a user, again, when we test in the lab, there's good things about Android and bad things and frustrating things. From a developer's perspective, you probably find it pretty elegant. Is that what you were saying?
Right. Yeah, so the way that Android is set up is everything, first of all, is open. Well, the important bits of Android are open for you to actually inspect. So as a developer, I can go in and I can look and see how they built TalkBack and see how they built the controls that I'm trying to use, and I can get a lot of more information about that. Development that I do could be guided by what they've done and figure out where the issues are based on the fact that it's open. So as a developer, I also have a lot more freedom. There are a lot of things that Android will let you get away with that the iOS people would just throw your app out immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Have to do that.
Like not use iOS 7 conformalities and sure. colors. That would, you know, because again, we're talking about the low vision community
sure.
is moving away from iOS in certain ways because of the coloring. So here's an opportunity for you guys to get a great audience for people sure. who are converts.
Exactly.
Right.
And on that note, even take advantage of those nice big 12-inch tablets that are coming out that Samsung's building and others are going towards on the Android.
You got it.
Yeah, that's a good point. One of the things that we want to do, and one of the things that we told Motorola that we were going to do, is we're actually going to make it so that you can use it with the tablet interface. So if you scale up to a larger interface, a larger display, then you'll have, you know, the larger fonts and so some of the low vision access features that people will, I think, really enjoy. Because
with so many examples of Android out there, I mean, you have everything from hopefully not many people are using Gingerbread, but sadly some are, and all the way up to KitKat. As a developer, what did you choose when deciding, you know, where is our cutoff point? What are we going to support and what do we not?
Yeah, that's kind of hard to say at this point because the things that I've done, I'm not far enough along in the development process to specifically say. But
right.
we will look and see how far back it will go. I don't think we have thus far run into anything that won't work before. I know that 4.0 is probably a good target, but we didn't promise that we could go back any further than like 4.3
right.
When we wrote it, just because Android changes so quickly.
And with that said, how about hardware? Did you feel like there's a dominant player in the hardware, or we want to build to these 3.5 models,
right.
what have you?
We're really, really hoping that won't be an issue because we're not going to branch out into really complex features that will have issues like that.
Yeah.
But we have targeted the Nexus devices, so the ones that have been branded by Google that have the pure Google experience.
Right.
We're targeting those specifically, and then we're also testing to make sure that they work with Motorola devices since they sponsor us.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would be not bad.
Yeah, that would help.
JJ and I sport Droid 4s for that very reason.
Right.
Yep. So, yep.
Another thing we think that's going to be neat about the Android, as well as we're going to do this in iOS version, is build the full tablet size. Right now, our iOS version only comes in the small iPhone size window on tablets. So again, that would open up this note-taking world. You know, we've all loved the traditional note-takers, but there's never really been one designed for the low-vision market. And as we're learning in CSUN, that's the target of the AT world right now. And so that would add that market to our customer base. And also, we will be releasing the Android version at no cost. We do still have a cost with iOS version, and we're investigating some new pricing structures in that platform also.
Excellent.
Good to know. So Darren, for social media and websites and the like, where can people keep up with the latest about AFB and of course AccessNode in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. You can certainly go to our Access World magazine at afb.org/aw. And our editor, Lee Huffman, is here also with us today, so he can certainly ask you. He's on LinkedIn also. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can tell I'm an old curmudgeon and all this crazy social networking for those young kids.
We do the twittings.
Yeah,
we do.
So we're twitting the heck out of the world out there. So
yep.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate that, and we appreciate you having us. We're basically the lab rats with a couple other folks at our AFB Tech Centers where we do our product evaluation. A lot of our AFB consulting comes out of there, as well as now William is running our app development. So it's great to talk to you guys and to be on your show. It's one of the most popular things in our biz.
Great to catch up with all of you. Thank you again for taking a little time, and best of luck with AccessNode.
Thanks
very much.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
For the entire crowd here, I'm Joe Steinkamp with Ricky Enger, bringing you CSUN 2014, sponsored by HIMSS on the Saratalk Podcast Network.
Live in San Diego for CSUN 2014 coverage, sponsored by HIMSS. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm here at Alexandra Vision. I want to talk a bit about vibrating watches. And here I have with me, I will let her pronounce her name so that I don't do it injustice. Your name?
Miss Richardo.
Very good. And the name of the company is Alexandra Vision. You are from Switzerland, right?
Yes.
And the idea behind the watches, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, there are all sorts of talking watches, vibrating watches, braille watches, this, that, and the other. What is unique about what you do?
What is unique about what we do is the form of this watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the form of a stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unique form for a watch.
And it does
to be hold in the hand,
mm-hmm.
with three buttons. You have only three buttons. The upper one will vibrate you the hours.
Okay.
The middle one will vibrate you the tenths of minutes. And the last one will vibrate you the minutes. You just have to press briefly on any button you like. I mean, you don't have to check out the hour every 5 minutes.
Right.
You know it's 12 o'clock, but maybe you would know what minute now, huh?
Exactly.
Or what tenths of minutes. So then you press the button you like to press on. For setting a new time, it's done with only one pressure as well. Just you press a long time, you wait for a long vibration, and you count the following short vibrations. And you stop when you arrive at the hour.
The time that you want to set, right. So this is not an atomic watch, right? It doesn't...
No, this is a quartz watch.
Very good.
Our product is losing maximum 2 minutes per year. So you would change the minutes maybe once per year and change the hours twice per year for winter and summer or when you're traveling.
Right.
The batteries, you only have to replace them after 5 years. So you've got it for a long time before replacing new batteries.
Very good. When it comes to men's and women's watches and sort of the concern about fashion and how it looks, what types of looks do you have for the watch? Or is it a single watch that is appropriate for everyone?
Okay. We have the Meteor watch with, in form of a stone for the hand is for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We have particularly more feminine watches, which are made of cherry wood. So these are wooden pendants.
Wow.
With different kind of stones in the middle. Also, these watches have the three buttons behind them. So nobody knows that you are checking the time
right
when you are touching your pendant, which is very feminine.
Oh, yes.
And in the wooden, you have dark wood or clear wood, round stones or oval stones in the middle of them.
And the thing that's so great about this is that you're going to be able to check the time whether you are deafblind and you need the vibrations or whether maybe you're just blind or low vision or whatever you happen to be and don't want to have something talking and disrupting other people and letting them know that you're looking at the time.
Yes, just nobody knows that you are checking the time.
Yes.
If you have the Meteor in your pocket, you have it in your pocket, nobody knows. If you have a pendant, wooden pendant or acrylic pendant in form of seashells, as we have here, also nobody would know that you are checking the time. Just you know.
That is an excellent concept. I love it. For people who want to learn more about what you have and perhaps want to order some products, where would they go to do that?
You can order this at Etigai's,
mm-hmm.
in Kalamazoo,
in
Michigan.
In Michigan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can go on their website.
Right. Etigai's.com.
Etigai's.com. Exactly.
Very good. I want to thank you again for sharing information about what you do. I like the concept of these watches because it seems like they are both fashionable and functional. Wish you a great show, and again, thank you for sharing information with us.
Thank you, Vish. Thank you very much.
For the Saratok Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger. Live from the exhibit hall at CSUN 2014, doing SPN coverage sponsored by HIMSS. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm here with Robert Jaquess at American Thermoform. Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. And you are displaying some really cool stuff, actually. I don't think the microphone can pick this up. Maybe? Yep, there's a little bit of sound there. That is the sound of a 3D printer. Yes?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what this is and what it's doing.
A 3D printer takes material and it deposits it layer by layer. This machine is called additive fabrication in that it adds material. We started out with a basically nothing,
yep.
And the machine melts a filament. It looks like big, thick fishing line.
Right.
And as it's melting it, there is a head, very much like an inkjet printer head, which is moving back and forth in X and Y. And as it's doing that, it's squirting the filament out, kind of like a cake decorator. And then when it gets a layer done, the build plate drops. So the build plate is kind of like a table. It drops a little bit, and then it puts another layer on top of the first layer. And when it's done, you have a 3D object.
That is incredible.
And that's called additive fabrication because we're adding material. And what a 3D printer is good for, it's good for making models. I am holding here a model of a life mask of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, really?
That was scanned by the Smithsonian, and then the files were made available. I was able to get the file, and then we printed it with this machine. And so I have an exact model of what it's a smaller scaled down version.
Certainly.
It would be a size for a one-year-old, a baby, but it's a model of his face. Exactly what Abraham Lincoln looked like. And people, even if you don't tell anybody what it is, they look at this thing and they say, oh, now that's Abraham Lincoln.
They immediately know.
Yes.
And this is considerably different than the kinds of things that American Thermoform has done before. I mean, you guys do tactile graphics and
Thermoform machines. Thermoform machines are still in use,
yep.
And they still have their uses. We also do sell Braille printers. We have the Braille in Print that will print Braille on paper and then print on that same sheet of paper.
Right.
We have another tactile graphics machine over here, and it's not, well, I don't have it on because it makes quite a bit of noise.
Yes.
But this is it cuts blocks of foam. So we have a piece of styrofoam here.
Yep.
And it has been cut to look like Mount St. Helens. So if you were studying geography or studying a volcano, you could look at Mount St. Helens and you could see how the eastern side of the volcano was blown off.
Yes, wow.
And that is called subtractive fabrication because it cuts away, starts with a block of material and cuts away material.
Right. So as a consumer, you're not going to be able to rush out necessarily and buy a 3D printer, but as an organization who is producing things for students and the like.
The MakerBot Replicator 2 is $2,200.
Okay.
So it's not out of line.
No, it's not outside the scope of possibility, certainly.
And the 2Bot is $6,000. That's a little higher end. But it's certainly within range for a school district to buy.
For something that people want to print using this technology, are they just going to get a standard graphic, or how does it work in terms of, hey, I want a replica of something. What do we do?
It's called a CAD file.
Yep, okay.
If I wanted to, there are libraries of files and people can download them and print. Now, a blind person may or may not be able to download their own file and print it because once it's imported in the controlling software, you have to kind of make sure that it fits within the boundaries of the machine, and that's
right.
It's a GUI system, and JAWS simply won't work with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that some parts can be automated, but it's certainly something that a parent could. But generally, sighted people are going to be using this equipment.
Right, in order to produce
I have used it myself. I have made a few things like working up a Braille library font. So I have done some experiments with it, and so I have printed with it. But, you know, it is kind of a guess what's going to happen when you run it.
Sure. So for people who want more information about this and other products from American Thermoform, where can they go?
You can go to our website.
Yep.
That is www.3dtactilegraphics.com.
Great.
And that's the number 3.
Mm-hmm. So www.3dtactilegraphics.com.
And
this is fascinating technology.
My
sure.
number, I can be reached if people need to call me directly. My number is 909-593-6711, extension 107.
Very good. Robert, I want to thank you for taking a little time to speak with us today, and I will leave you with this wonderful, fascinating technology, and I'm glad that others can learn about it as well. Thank you again, and have a great show.
Great. Thank you.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
So much to talk about at this year's CSUN conference, but stick around. We're not done yet. We'll be right back right after the break.
Meet EBOT, the revolutionary new portable video magnifier from HIMSS. EBOT is perfect for the classroom. It lets a student see what's on a smart board or on her desk.
Images can be displayed wirelessly on any iPad or Android tablet.
The EBOT is controlled using standard touchscreen gestures, so it only takes moments to learn.
Want more information?
Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com. Or if you'll be at CSUN, visit us in booths 705 and 805.
EBOT, the new standard in video magnifiers. Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Saratech's DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Live in the exhibit hall for CSUN 2014, Saratalk is doing coverage sponsored by HIMSS. I'm Ricky Enger, and I am here with Bob Stepp of Computer Application Specialties. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. Hope you are having a great show so far. And given that you are talking about Braille translation software, I suspect that it has been an interesting show, yes?
Yes, I've met some very nice people so far.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit about the Braille translation software that this company produces, the name of it, and sort of what it does. Just a brief description of translation in general.
Computer Application Specialties is the maker of Braille 2000. It is a translation tool, also does 6-key Braille editing. It is a completely what you see is what you get tool, so that it shows to the transcriber or VI specialist or parent pages of virtual Braille paper that will emboss as seen,
mm-hmm.
but they can be viewed either as simulated dots on screen, which can also be read through JAWS on a refreshable Braille device, or as print notation on screen, which can be spoken by JAWS. And even in print notation, the layout remains that of the underlying Braille page. In order to achieve this, as print material is put in, perhaps pasted from the clipboard,
yep.
it is instantly converted to Braille in the selected code, let's say contracted English. And after the Braille has been produced, then the print, if you're looking at print, is displayed in exactly the same spatial representation on the virtual page as the Braille will appear by gently squeezing and stretching the print to match the Braille, which if it's contracted is not necessarily the same number of cells as print characters.
Exactly.
So that whether you are Braille certified, in which you might want to look at the dots because it tells everything, or if you're a parent or a VI specialist who would rather not have to read the Braille visually, you can read the print. And it's fluid in the fact that it's always Braille in print, so if you make editorial changes to the print, the Braille has adjusted immediately and the print repositioned to match the Braille. Or if you make changes to the Braille, then the print adjusts if you're looking at that as a proofreading aid. And right. of course, you can look at only dots or only print, depending on your needs at the time.
And so it's going to be immediately obvious to someone, regardless of what medium they're comfortable in, what the layout of something is. And so there are never any questions of, well, there was only one word of Braille on this one page and I had no way of knowing it because I was just looking at the print and what have you.
That's right. The transcriber uses the print side for proofreading, feedback that what they've done is sensible. A parent who might be needing to prepare incidental materials can use only the print view and know immediately how the material is going to fall on the Braille pages, where the page boundaries are located, what's centered, what's indented, about how much, and use their standard word processing intuition to prepare the Braille pages, knowing what's going to be on each page when it's embossed. And they may actually never look at dots on the screen.
Right.
It also has a spelling checker built in that will check the Braille spelling. So if you make a dot error or a contraction error, if you're working on the Braille side, it will flag that as a potential error and let you fix it. And then does automated page layouts, but does page numbering for textbook format, literary format, music format, line numbers for line numbered prose, mm-hmm. Guide word footers are automated. It supports all the standard Braille embossers. It's the cat's meow in tools for the Braille producer who needs to value their time and wants to move in forward progressive motions all the time. Fix what's wrong rather than throw something away and go back to print again.
And do it all over again.
It's basically a non-iterative type of tool, just like Word.
Is the software available on multiple platforms or just Windows at this point?
The system is for Windows only.
Okay.
Some of our customers who are using the virtual machine orientation
right,
on Macintosh,
on a Mac. Yep.
runs Windows software, it works well there.
Mm-hmm.
The tool is supported on all Windows platforms from Windows 95 through Windows 8.1, both 64-bit and 32-bit editions. Unlike most other software, the licenses for Braille 2000 are portable.
All right.
They're either packaged within a flash drive, which is portable, wherever it is, that's where the license is. You can install the software on as many computers as you wish, but use it at one at a time through the
yes.
attached flash drive. Mm-hmm. And we also have internet licenses that work at one computer at a time per license, but you can use it in one place at 10 o'clock, another place at 11 o'clock. All you have to do is close the Braille 2000 application, it releases the internet license, and use it any place else. So if you're a school system with a traveling VI specialist, you don't have to have a license for every school, you have a license for the one person, and they can use the software at different schools at different times.
Right. Let's talk trials and pricing. If someone wants to check this out, how can they do that? And again, pricing for whenever they
the
are ready to purchase.
The Braille 2000 website is www.braille2000.com. Easy
mm-hmm.
to remember.
Yep.
The actual Braille 2000 software is downloadable. When it has no license provided at all, it works in a demonstrator mode, which allows you to do absolutely everything as long as you don't harvest a final work product.
Right.
So at the moment you might go to emboss or to save a file with unlicensed software, you are told to stop. And if you don't, it sprinkles the word demo onto your work product. But
yes.
you can actually save, you can actually emboss, you can show in an unlicensed fashion that it actually works with your embosser. It's just that you'll see the word demo. Of course,
right.
that doesn't happen with a license. There are three levels of the software. The one we've been talking about is the most advanced. It's called the Document Processing Edition.
Mm-hmm.
It's licensed in three ways. This software can be leased by the month, and it costs $26 per month.
All right.
Most people that are going to use it long term will buy the license,
mm-hmm.
and most of them buy what is called the premium license, which includes free lifetime updates to all maintenance releases, and that costs $949. And we also have what's called a budget license. It's a one-time fee. You own the license, but you do not get lifetime maintenance releases. You get 90 days worth of free maintenance.
Okay.
And that costs $789. For specialized transcriptions, for instance, somebody who's going to do music braille all by six-key entry, there are less powerful versions that don't do print-to-braille translation, but have proofreading tools and other tools for a person who does six-key input exclusively. And those start at $389 and fill in the price range in between in several levels. A lot of people doing learning Braille that are doing their NLS manuscript will do it on Braille 2000 on an edition that does not help them, where they have to do all the work for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the basic edition, and they usually lease that by the month at $10 a month.
Fantastic.
Very affordable for that. But then they have all the tools they would want of a powerful professional Braille editing system.
Right. And again, Braille2000.com to be able to look at those pricing options as well as get a
price list there. The software is there. The one download allows you to evaluate all levels of the software on all Windows platforms. There's also a library of literature you can read and download that's accessible. Because the system is WYSIWYG, meaning what you see is what you get, our users do not study the manual, they just jump in. Just like people these days don't read about how to use Word, you just do it. The system has a complete undo, so even if you try something you decide you don't like, you undo it and back off of it. It doesn't bite, you just do things.
Very good. Bob, I want to thank you for letting our listeners know about the software. We wish you the best. Hope you have a great show. And again, Braille2000.com to check out more information. Thank you again.
It's been my pleasure to talk with you.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger. Live at San Diego CSUN 2014, doing CSUN coverage sponsored by HIMSS. I am Ricky Enger for the Saratalk Podcast Network, and I'm here with Stephanie from GH LLC. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I am doing quite well. Why don't you tell us a bit about what you guys do?
We have our software products, ReadHear for PC and Mac. It's a digital talking book player that works with a variety of different file formats. And we also have ClickHear, which is a reading toolbar for the web that allows the web pages to be read out loud and also translates the text.
Great. And for ClickHear, is that for Windows and Mac or just Windows?
It is for any browser. So yes, it would be for PC or Mac.
Excellent. So this basically is a browser plugin that will provide this kind of functionality.
Essentially, yes. However, it's no install because you can use it on any browser wherever you have internet access.
How do people learn about what you do and maybe a trial of both of these products? What would they do to check this out?
It's all available for download for our software products on our website at www.gh-accessibility.com. And we also have ClickHear Mobile built into our website, so you can try that out on any of our pages.
Excellent. Is there any particular type of content that it has been exclusively designed for, or pretty much anything that you could find on the web, this is what you'd use?
It works on any page on the web.
Awesome. Stephanie, I want to thank you for taking a bit of time to speak with us. And again, that website for people to check things out again?
It's www.gh-accessibility.com.
Thank you. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger. Live from San Diego, CSUN 2014 coverage for the Saratalk Podcast Network is fully underway. And by the way, sponsored by HIMSS. Thank you, HIMSS. I'm here with Barry Greenblatt from MaxiAids, who just happens to be the distributor, U.S. distributors for Project Ray, among many other things. MaxiAids is a pretty familiar name in this industry, certainly. How are you, Barry?
I'm great, thank you.
Excellent.
Great. I wanted to tell you about a few things that we have.
Sure.
We've got a number of products, including our magnifiers and talking watches and braille watches and calendar watches. We have color detectors. We also have a labeler called the Ryzen Labeler. You can make your own voice labels.
Excellent.
It's very easy to use. We brought our large print talking calculator, a large key talking calculator.
Mm-hmm.
We brought a number of our keyboards, our bold low vision keyboards. Also want to mention that we're now distributors for a CCTV company called Nordicai. We're displaying some of the CCTV systems today. We also have timers, and lots of other things. We have the atomic clock, we have the talking atomic clock,
mm-hmm.
and by the way, the Nordicai Solo does distance as well as near, so it's portable, and you can use it with a laptop, so a child can read his text in the classroom and then focus the camera to the board so he can see the board. We have many, many other products. We also have switches, specialty switches.
Right.
And much, much more.
Yes, I bet you have talking scales as well. What seems to be the most popular in terms of those?
Well, we have a few different talking scales. We carry the Royal Tellway talking. It's a talking weight scale.
Mm-hmm.
You can weigh, for people to weigh themselves. It's accurate. It has a very strong voice. We also have a Ryzen kitchen scale.
Great.
Which, for those people that want to measure their portions, can do so.
Tell me a bit about Project Ray. You are the distributor for that now.
Yes.
Excellent.
Project Ray is an accessible smartphone for people that are visually impaired, and it's based upon touch. There are menus. It has all the functionality of a smartphone. It's very simple to use. There's a small amount of training required to begin with, and it's a terrific product.
Very good. For people who are interested in learning about what MaxiAids does, where can we find you? Website, social media, that kind of thing?
Well, we're on Facebook,
yep.
And our website is www.maxiaids.com. That's www.maxiaids.com. And we're also on Facebook. And in addition, between the hours of 8:30 to 5:30 p.m., 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, we have an 800 number, which is 800-522-6294. That's 800-522-6294. And if people can call and speak to one of our operators that are very experienced in all these products.
Fantastic. Barry, I hope you guys have a great show. And, of course, people who are looking for just about anything, you're likely to find it at MaxiAids.
Well, we really appreciate that. Thank you very much, Ricky. And anything that we can help anybody with, give us a call, and we're very happy to work with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger. Coming to you from San Diego, California, doing CSUN 2014 coverage sponsored by HIMSS. Thank you, HIMSS. And I am here with Douglas, who is from Tactilus. Hey, Douglas, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to meet you.
Awesome. So Tactilus is actually a really fascinating concept, and I'm going to let you talk a little bit about what Tactilus is.
So Tactilus, we develop computer systems that have tactile output. So they're very much like tablet computers, but we've got a proprietary display that actually lets people feel a physical representation of graphics and symbols and images on the screen.
So would you take any sort of standard image that could then be displayed on what you're using tactily? If I wanted to look, say, at a Google map, would I be able to use it in that way?
That's the ultimate goal. We've got a couple steps before to get there.
Right.
But ultimately, we'd like to use a lot of technologies that are already in use by Google and other community developers so that you could scan a page of a magazine or load a website, and it would automatically represent itself on our screen.
So this isn't static either, right? You can move around sort of in the image. Can you do things like, let's say, you have an idea of perhaps a floor plan of a building, and then you wanted to take a closer look at a particular section of it. How would you be able to do that?
For sure. So it's very interactive, and our whole goal was that we allow users to explore information by downloading it or loading from a disk, but also to be able to create and share and exchange. So what you would do if you were going to look more closely at something is you would find the point where that feature is represented on the screen,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a second control that you hold in your other hand, so you can keep your scouting hand on the screen and then
right.
still invoke all sorts of interactions, and then you could use it to either request information like whose office is this or what's it next to, how do I get from point A to point B, or you could use it to link to an entirely new image that is maybe zoomed in on the area of focus or zoomed out or otherwise related to the feature that you're interested in.
Excellent. So you have a tablet, and you do have methods of controlling that tablet. How is that interfaced with, say, a PC or whatever it is that you're using to get the image, or is it standalone?
So right now it is standalone. We want to make sure that the user experience we provide is really clean and useful and not try and kind of sit on top of other, you know, different platforms.
Yep.
Right now we do run on Windows, but we are looking at Android and iOS options. And basically, we're going to be selling initially as a standalone device and then opening it up either as a peripheral or as a kind of a dock where you could plug in other computers or laptops and things like that.
Very cool.
It's basically, it sits on top of a regular Windows computer, and the price isn't that much more. So it's a really fantastic opportunity to get, you know, a device that most people are already used to using,
right,
plus this entirely new fantastic system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is the unit shipping currently?
It's not shipping currently. We're just getting into manufacturing, so we're looking to do pre-orders right now, and we'll be manufacturing and delivering later in 2014.
Very good. And for people who want to keep up with what you're doing, where can we find you? Websites, social media, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, all of those. So the website is tactilis.com, so that's tactilis.com. And next best is probably Twitter, which is just @Tactilis, tactalis.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. This is fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to getting a closer look at it and, of course, shipping later this year, with any luck. Thank you again for talking a bit about this, and hope you have a great show.
Thank you so much, Ricky.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger. CSUN 2014 coverage brought to you by HIMSS, and this time I have the pleasure of talking with Marie from Tellurian. Hi, Marie, how are you?
Hi, good, and you?
Very well. You guys do some very interesting things with smartphones, specifically for the blind and visually impaired. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, with pleasure. So we've designed two products. One is Tellurian Vox. It's designed mostly for blind users. What we have noticed is that it was sometimes quite difficult for some blind people to find their way around flat touchscreens without any points of reference. And what we have developed is a keypad overlay that we put on the screen, which gives really points of reference as a traditional mobile phone with buttons would do, for instance. And with that, we've developed a talking interface. Well, there's a lot of noise here, but,
yep, but
so that you know where you are at any point in time. And it gives you access to a suite of applications that we have developed so that you really have all the functions of a smartphone. So smartphones can give many, many wonderful things. So there is phone, emails, GPS. Well, we have around 25 applications, so I will spare you the whole list, but you have access to the Daisy books and a lot of multimedia content and also vision aids applications, so optical character recognition. So you can just take a picture of a letter, for instance, and it will read it to you. These kind of nice features that we have.
Right. With the hardware that you're using, is it supporting a particular type of phone, or are there a couple of phones?
Yes. Yeah? At the moment, we are compatible with Samsung Galaxy phones.
Okay, great.
So the S3, and we have just released the S4 Mini, well, Tellurian and the S4 Mini. And we are planning to maybe release Tellurian on other phones. We aim to release it on cheaper phones as well, so as to make the solution more affordable as well for people.
For someone who gets Tellurian initially, and they also maybe want to explore Android a bit, which is on the Galaxy phones,
yes,
are there ways to do that? You know?
Yes, it's actually very easy to do that. You can either switch from Tellurian to the standard Android platform.
Okay.
So you just remove the overlay and use it with TalkBack. The good thing is that you can make sure that TalkBack is activated from Tellurian, so you can control that from Tellurian, so that you're, you know, safe, and it's very easy to come back to Tellurian as well anyway, so no risk of being stuck. We're really changing the operating system of the phone, so it's very stable, and you can come back to Tellurian at any time. So you can switch back and forth. And another thing that we've done is that we have implemented something which lists all the Android applications that you have installed. Because one of the hardest things, I think, to manage when you're blind or partially sighted is the icon screen, because you have all these tiny icons with small text and it's a bit confusing and with several pages, etc. So we've done something where all the applications that you have in Android are listed and then vocalized within Telorion, so that you can choose it within Telorion,
yes,
and then you're directly in your application.
Excellent.
And you just press the home button and you're back in Telorion again, so it's very easy to use.
Absolutely. What is the price for Telorion
so
products?
We've not released it yet in the US, okay, but so the price range that we're thinking about, and that's according to what we do in Europe as well, mm-hmm, would be around $350 to $400 for the software. And then, as a bundle with the phone, you would just have to add the cost of the handset. So we would talk around probably $700 or so for the bundle. But then if we manage to move to cheaper phones, it would lower the price accordingly and make it more affordable as well.
For people who want to keep up with what's going on and when you might be releasing and that kind of thing, where can we find you as far as website, maybe Twitter, Facebook, that
kind of thing? Yes, sure. So we're on Twitter, on Facebook, and we have a website that is telorion.co.uk. Telorion is telorion.co.uk. And there is an email address as well where you can send us emails, and we'd be very glad to add you to our mailing list and keep you informed when we release the product here in the US.
Excellent. Well, Marie, I want to thank you for taking some time to speak with me, and
I wish you the best of luck.
Yes.
Thanks a lot. It was really nice meeting you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Thus concludes our first CSUN 2014 SPN special. Our thanks go out to HIMSS Inc. for sponsoring this year's CSUN coverage on SPN. To learn more, visit HIMSS-Inc.com. Go to Saratalk.com for links to all of the products mentioned in this special. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Saratalk. Send an email to resources@Saratalk.com. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio, or call us at 866-997-2522. I'm Jamie Pauls, and I'll see you again in CSUN 2014 SPN Special Number 2.